Empire Lines uncovers the unexpected, often two-way, flows of empires through art. Interdisciplinary thinkers use individual artworks as artifacts of imperial exchange, revealing the how and why of the monolith empire. In this episode, Dr. Lily Filson reroutes religious loot through the 6th and 8th centuries. Via the teak column of Al-Khalis, produced in Yemen and plundered for Saudi Arabia.
Mecca, at the heart of the Islamic faith, today within the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, draws millions of faithful every year to perform the Hajj pilgrimage. A short distance from its holy sites sits the Mecca Museum, formerly the Azahir Palace, home of the permanent exhibition of the two holy mosques' architecture. Among the rich and diverse objects associated with Mecca's holy mosque, a tall wooden column, more than 1,000 years old, soars to almost meet the museum's ceiling. Visitors to the Mecca Museum learn that this column was installed in the holy mosque 65 years after the Hijra by Islamic timekeeping, about 785 AD by Western calendars. It was brought as pious plunder by Abdullah ibn Azubair, a leader of a rebellion that challenged the rising Umayyad dynasty, which brought Islamic expansion as far as the Levant and Spain. But what onlookers might not realize about the column in front of them is that it's likely one of the last surviving remnants of the Christian church Al-Khalis, erected in Sana'a, Yemen, more than a century prior. Azubair's plundered column stands a silent witness to centuries of conquest on the Arabian Peninsula that played out between the Byzantine and Aksumite empires in the 6th century and the newly emerging empire of Islam in the 7th. In the first quarter of the 6th century, Yemen was ruled by the last of its indigenous Tubat, or kings, Dhu Nuwas. Dhu Nuwas is one of a handful of monotheistic rulers of the Himyarite dynasty of kings that adopted the Jewish faith, and in doing so, pitted his empire against Aksum, whose kings had brought Christianity to Ethiopia since the 4th century. The flashpoint for outright war between these kingdoms was a massacre of the Christian community in Yemen's Najran by Dhu Nuwas. As his answer, the Ethiopian King Caleb sent his general Abraha to lead the invasion and conquest of Yemen around 523 CE. With the defeat of the last Himyarite ruler, Yemen's new imperial custodians began the process of erecting lavish triumphal monuments, and Al-Khalis, thought to be an Arabic derivative of the Greek ecclesia for church, became the preeminent symbol of the expanding Christian empire in the 6th century. Only three centuries later, Al-Khalis had, however, been totally dismantled, yet memories of its luxurious materials and decorations persisted in some medieval Arab historians' accounts. Al-Azraqi, writing in the 8th century, traced the stones used in its construction to the royal palace of the legendary Bilgis, Queen of Sheba, whose kingdom has been located in the ruins of Saba, in Yemen, near the modern city of Mareb, on the border of the wastes of the Arabian desert today. Today's sands, however, contrast with the picture of Saba in antiquity, which was renowned for its irrigation and agriculture that turned the desert green. Sabaean epigraphy and archaeology have yet to unearth concrete evidence of a historical Queen Bilgis, but Surah 27, the ant of the Holy Quran, has cemented the biblical narrative of the Queen of Sheba in the Islamic consciousness. General Abraha's spoils from the ancient Sabaean palace included a marble staircase, as well as green, white, yellow, and black stones. Additionally, a monumental door was cast from copper or bronze and costly materials like ivory and imported teak and acacia wood inlaid with gold and silver nails, or even coated in gold and silver coverings, embellished this stunningly opulent setting. The placard in front of Azubert's column in the museum today informs visitors that it is made out of solid sage, or teak, which, even after 1,200 years, remains upright and iron strong. Although Azubert famously plundered three columns from Alcalis and Sana'a, just this one has apparently survived to the present. The exact match of the material of this column with early Islamic historians' accounts of teak in Alcalis and Sana'a exposes that this is a rare relic of a brief but seminal chapter in Yemen's architectural history that has otherwise completely vanished. In front of this teak column, visitors stand face to face with a product of the long trade routes that connected India, Arabia, and Africa with Constantinople and the Eastern Roman Empire. From its native forests in India and Sri Lanka, teak wood made its way west across the Indian Ocean. This was a lively maritime trade route that rivaled the Silk Road for its access to the riches of Asia. In Constantinople, Emperor Justinian coveted this alternate sea route that would completely bypass the hostile Sasanian Empire that ruled Persia and harassed Rome's eastern borders. The 6th century Byzantine historian Procopius chronicled Justinian's embassy to the Christian Aksumite emperor in Ethiopia and proposal of a trade relationship along the following lines. Ethiopian merchants would obtain silk from the east, which would then be bought by the Byzantines. Procopius also preserves the Byzantine perspective on the alliance between the Emperor Justinian and the Ethiopian general Abraha, who conquered Yemen. Constantinople desired Abraha to also invade Persia and its allies. Ultimately, this never happened, but it's clear in the Islamic histories that a close relationship existed between Emperor Justinian in Constantinople and the Christian Aksumite kingdom now straddling Ethiopia and Yemen. And this led to a unique flourishing of Byzantine artwork on the Arabian Peninsula, not seen before or since. When Azubert plundered the columns from Sana'a in the 7th century, Arab histories indicate he also looted the church's mosaics. When they were installed in the Holy Mosque of Mecca, they became the earliest mosaics ever to grace an Islamic setting. But that's only half the story. The mosaics that were made for Sana'a's magnificent church were unique in the pre-Islamic history of Yemen, Ethiopia, and even Egypt. The mosaic medium simply did not exist in this region until the alliance between the Roman Emperor Justinian and Abraha. Byzantine diplomacy thus unfolded along well-established lines. Roman imperial ateliers of glass mosaic craftsmen were based not only in Constantinople, but also in provincial centers in Italy, Greece, North Africa, Syria, and Palestine. By the 6th century, it was common practice for artisans to be sent to the limits of empire and beyond to cement alliances and spread imperial influence. Byzantine artists traveled to far-flung courts, like that of the first Christian prince Vladimir in Kiev, the Norman rulers of Sicily in Palermo and Cefalù, and the Umayyad caliph in Córdoba, Spain. Historical descriptions of mosaics made from glass or gold cubes covering the walls of Alcalis and Sana'a are the proverbial smoking gun of the presence of imported Byzantine artists to the Aksumite kingdom in Ethiopia and Yemen. We might wonder what these 6th century Byzantine mosaics in Yemen looked like. Were they anything like the sumptuous, towering depictions of the Emperor Justinian and his empress, draped in the imperial purple in San Vitale in Ravenna? Were they images of the court's pomp and ceremony against a background of solid gold? Not exactly. Materials and colors were shared between Constantinople and, for a short moment, in Sana'a, but Alcalis's lost mosaics, known through just one detailed historical description, were intentionally non-figurative mosaic motifs. Floral motifs and gold stars proliferated throughout the church's interior, with multicolored and gold and silver crosses concentrated in the apse, the Holy of Holies. This style of artwork reflects a fusion of Byzantine craftsmanship with Ethiopian Christian religious sensibilities. The avoidance of iconic figures in the Alcalis mosaic cycle is rooted in the Aksumite king's embrace of monophysite Christianity. This branch rejected the multitude of images which sprawled across Byzantine churches until the advent of iconoclasm in the early 8th century, which destroyed many early examples of Byzantine art. Unlike the Mecca Museum's proudly displayed column, these mosaics seem to have vanished from the record. We can compare them, however, with other examples of monophysite mosaics within the Byzantine Empire, from the Mar Jibrail Monastery in Jabal Tur Abdin, now in southeast Turkey, or the underground funerary chapel of a vanished monastery on the outskirts of Homs, Syria. One historian speculated that Syrian mosaic artists were sent specifically to realize the aniconic monophysite mosaics that covered the walls of Sana'a's vanished church. Looted mosaics from the monophysite church in Sana'a would have made a fluid transition to Islam's holiest site, where iconic representations were later similarly forbidden. Sana'a was thus perhaps the vanguard of the tidal change in how religious spaces were decorated that swept with the new religion of Islam through Arabia and beyond after the 7th century. Between the years 527 and the late 560s, the window wherein these Byzantine mosaics for Alcalis in Sana'a were created, the Kaaba in Mecca still exercised a magnetic pull as a place of pre-Islamic pilgrimage. Nevertheless, Alcalis was a glimmering newcomer to the scene of the Arabian pilgrim economy and inevitably diluted the Meccans' otherwise reliable traffic of the worshippers and trade they brought. The pre-Islamic shrine of Mecca was populated by a variety of icons and idols. But Alcalis, the outpost of monophysite Christianity in Sana'a, articulated an alternative vision. It was one realized in the opulent materials of gold, glass, ivory, marbles, and valuable woods, and with a restrained simplicity of its forms. A well-known story outlines how a disgruntled traveler from Mecca defiles Sana'a's showpiece church in the late 6th century. This prompted General Abraha's ill-fated march to Mecca, remembered in Surah 105 of the Holy Quran, entitled The Elephant. It recounts that in spite of the presence of formidable animals of war, the elephants, which give this surah its title, a divinely ordained barrage of stones released by birds stopped the Aksumite reprisal in its tracks. When control of Yemen passed to the Sasanian Persian Empire after 570, the period of Ethiopian monophysite influence on Yemen's art and architecture came to a close. Still, the Sana'a church persisted through the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, who sent a legate addressed to the Christian princes professing the Christian faith in Yemen. Surah 3 of the Holy Quran details the births of the Christian figures John, Jesus, and Mary, and was delivered in Medina a few years before the death of the Prophet Muhammad to a Christian audience, ambassadors sent from Najran. Indeed, this was the same Najran whose persecution under Dhu Nuwas had precipitated the Aksumite invasion over a century earlier. The church at Najran was the only other site where Byzantine mosaics are mentioned in Arab histories. This church, as well as Alcalis in Sana'a, were treated favorably by the Prophet Muhammad, and its building, services, and monastery were allowed to remain undisturbed during his lifetime. But that didn't last for long. The Pact of Umar was a document advanced in as early as 673 by the second caliph after the conquest of Jerusalem and Syria that prescribed much more narrow and less tolerant parameters for non-Muslim populations in the expanding Islamic caliphate. Abdullah ibn Azubair's plunder, a century later, of Al-Khalis's Byzantine mosaics and valuable teak columns was the first of a series of deprivations by different rulers that resulted in the total destruction of the church by the time of Al-Azraqi's 9th century history. His description remains our most detailed source for the appearance and decorations of this vanished site. Now in the old city of Sana'a, an unmarked outline of stone foundation is a shadow of Al-Khalis's former self. What survives of its once rich patrimony was looted and brought to Mecca centuries ago. Still, the long history of plunder and destruction between Mecca and Sana'a has returned vividly to life. Since 2015, Saudi Arabia has waged a devastating campaign of aerial bombardment that has been responsible for the total destruction of some of Yemen's richest historical sites. Take, for example, the museum in Dhamar and its vast collections reduced to dust in a single day. The old city of Sana'a left vulnerable despite its status as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, or the leveling of the pre-Islamic temple site of Barakish, and still many others. Amid international outcry against the destruction of these irreplaceable sites, as well as staggering losses of life from a simultaneous bombing campaign that has destroyed hospitals, schools, buses, wedding parties, markets, and other civilian targets, the war drags on in its sixth year with no end in sight. In the face of this unrelenting destruction, now is the critical time to integrate Yemen into the broad picture of a globally interconnected history. In this single column on display in the Mecca Museum, we see India connected to Arabia, Arabia connected to Africa, and Africa connected to Constantinople and the latter-day Roman Empire. Their conflated influences behind the architecture and materials of Al-Khalis in 6th century Sana'a offer a unique historical nexus, one that vanished from the material record during wars long ago. It is imperative that the Saudi campaign of bombardment and blockade be halted before many more chapters of Yemen's interconnected history are lost forever.
Empire Lines is produced by Yelena Sofroniewicz. For more episodes, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.